We're going to look today at Psalm 23, and Jake is going to take us through his experience of being the proud owner of a sheep. And so we're not going to get to it yet. I'm going to kind of set this up for just a second. You'll have fun with this. It's, you know, I think about, I am a real big guy, at least comparatively to some. There are a few others bigger than me. And Jake is not super big, but he has amazing courage and inventiveness. I mean, going off and doing some of the
foolishness,
things.
Foolishness, I think. Foolishness, I've heard from some other folks.
I don't know. But anyway, it is so much fun to listen to him tell stories. I would not do some of the things he's done, wouldn't even think about it. I mean, camping to me, for example, Jake is a Ramada Inn. Camping for him is he really goes camping, things like that. Anyway, so one of the things we want to do is to put this thought in your mind if it isn't already there, and that is that the prayers of the Psalms are one of the greatest gifts you can give yourself. And so we would love you to make the Psalms your own. And they fit in so many different places in life. And so we want you to do that. So we've looked at Psalm 90 and we looked at Psalm 51. Psalm 51 can be so valuable to be prayed regularly. I mean, every day or every couple of days, spend some time there. Psalm 23 that we're going to look at today is worth memorizing. And you will find it applying to your life in many, many different areas. So we're going to try to put some context to Psalm 23, but I will guarantee you the best way you can get Psalm 23 and to understand it is to make it your own, to go in your Bible and to just take some time and learn to talk to God about it, okay? I say all the time, prayer is like art. It is not like science. Everybody will do it your own way, but this will give you some guidelines and help shape you as you pray. So with that in mind, Jake is going to talk to us a little bit about Psalm 23 and talk to us about his sheep experience.
Yeah, Psalm 23 was written by David. We all know David eventually became a king, but he started out as a shepherd. And in that society, being a shepherd wasn't a high-profile job. It was a really low-profile job. But he reflected on the things that he knew from work, and that helped him learn about God. And so whatever job you have, even if it's a job that other people don't want, you might be able to learn something about God if you reflect on him as you work. So we're going to be talking today about Psalm 23. It's about a shepherd and sheep. So here's a picture of me, a Mexican guy in longer hair, and then that's a picture of my sheep. What happened in Mexico is we had this little tiny yard, Rodolfo and I, my roommate, and the grass got about this high at one point, and we realized we probably need to do something about it. But nobody in town had lawnmowers. People just used machetes and cut their grass. So I thought, well, when in Rome, you know, so I got a machete, cut the grass. It was, like, incredibly difficult, and I never wanted to do it again after I got done. And I was like, why did I do that? And that light bulb went off. It was right around Super Bowl time, and we'd had a Super Bowl party with some friends where we had gotten a baby goat and slaughtered it because that's what people did down there. And so, and we'd eaten this goat. And so I had this idea of, well, why don't we just get a sheep and have it eat the grass for us? And if things go wrong, we'll just eat it. You know, like we'll just have a second Super Bowl party. So we got a sheep. Rodolfo and I did not name it because we wanted to be able to eat it without being attached. So,
if any of y'all would like to know Jake's email address, call him and you can send him your notes, what you're thinking right now, okay?
It's true. I'm sorry if you don't like it. So that's what happened. So that's kind of our setting. The sheep, though, you know, I'd grown up, I'd heard a lot of Bible stories, heard about sheep and shepherds a lot, but having a sheep taught me a lot, kind of a different perspective on these verses. So let's look at the first few verses of this psalm. David starts off really well. He kind of gives us the whole point right at the beginning. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." If you've never heard of Christian meditation before, it's this idea of filling yourself with God by really focusing in. And if you wanted something to meditate on this week, just that sentence is something you could say to yourself over and over. Think about it. There's a lot to that sentence. This idea that because God is my protector and my provider and the one I follow, I don't lack anything.
The greatest king of Israel did not say, I am a lion. He said, I am a sheep.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into that. When you meditate on this, just think about what does it mean for you to be what Jake is going to describe here in a few minutes.
Yeah, that's very true. It's very humble of David to say it. And this idea that David had a lot of problems in life. There were times when he was homeless. There were times when people were trying to kill him. There were times when his family betrayed him. And so he was still able to say, I lack nothing, even in those moments. So there's a lot there. Because God's my shepherd, I lack nothing. Verse 2, he says, God makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. We'll be talking about that making idea, that God actually makes us go do good things for ourselves. But the second half of the verse, he leads me beside quiet waters. Think about the last week, or the last month, or even the last decade. Has there been a time in your life where you really were beside quiet waters, where things were peaceful and safe and tranquil? Have you had an afternoon like that in all of January? It's very rare in our culture to have peace or tranquility. But God says he'll lead us to those types of places if we'll follow him. Verse 3, David says, God refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. God provides what we need. So when it comes to providing what you need, I think back to my sheep. Well, my idea wasn't so good because I just cut down all the grass in my yard, and then I bought a sheep that wants to eat grass. So the sheep ate all the hay that was there, you know, from that grass, and then it ate all of the grass in the yard, which was nice, but then we didn't have any more grass. So I thought, well, what am I going to do with the sheep? Like, and my neighbors didn't really have a lot of grass. But I knew on the outskirts of town, there was kind of a little uncleared area that had open grass. So I thought, well, I'll just take the sheep there. Well, I'd read quite a bit in the Bible. I knew sheep are supposed to follow shepherds' voices and stuff. And I did know my sheep, like, did learn my voice pretty fast. Like, it could calm down just from me talking to it. Like, if it started bawling outside, like, I could just yell out to it. And, like, it would, oh, Jake actually is around. Or, oh, Rodolfo is around. So I opened up the gate of our yard, and I said, like, okay, let's go. And it started to follow me down the street, just like a little poem or something, you know. And it got about 20 yards before it saw something that it wanted more than following me. So sheep really, I found this out. I didn't know this before, at least my sheep. It really, really loved paper. Like, it just ferociously wanted to eat paper. Like, more than anything, like a little kid in a candy store. It just, if it saw paper, like, it wanted to eat it. It didn't matter what garbage was around it. And in fact, since paper seemed to be in garbage, it just acquired really quickly a taste for, like, I just want to eat whatever garbage is on the side of the road. So as soon as I saw what it was about starting to do and starting to eat paper, I ran over to it, which it got scared really easily because sheep are incredibly dumb, incredibly scared, incredibly selfish animals. Like, that is just what sheep are like. So it got scared. It ran away from me a little bit. Then I just let it run for a little bit. Then it got scared that it was far away from me. So it stopped. But, like, eventually I went, grabbed it, picked it up, took it back home. And I'm not a shepherd, so this is what I did. I tied a rope to the sheep. And this is some of the neighborhood kids, because when you see a white guy walking a sheep on a rope, like, the neighborhood kids come out to check out what's going on, you know? So they'd never seen this thing before. So take the sheep. We've got these muddy, dirty roads. Take it all the way to the outskirts of town. Whenever it would try to go for garbage, I'd just yank, you know, that rope and keep it away from garbage. And I would take it to somewhere with some actually good grass. And it would be super excited. Just eat and eat and eat and get about 3 times its regular size and be really happy. So when I think about the sheep and us and that line that David says that God makes him go to green pastures, I think God's the same way with us. I was with that sheep. That God wants to take us. God knows what we need, and he wants to take us there. He knows the needs we have inside, the emptiness that will fuel the desires that we have. And he'll take us to green pastures, a place where we can satisfy those needs in a healthy way. But a lot of times, to get us from point A to where we need to be, he's got to take us through some dusty, dirty roads, and there's going to be garbage on the side of the road. And the reality is God calls us by name. He doesn't tie a rope to our neck and drag us, you know, through the street. So if we want to run after that garbage, God's going to let us run after that garbage. And a lot of us will say, okay, I'm following God, and I really want to have a good family, or I really want to have a good relationship. But then we see a shortcut on the side of the road of, oh, here's somebody who's giving me attention, who's attractive. I don't really need to do things God's way. Or I'm really bitter and angry at this person. Instead of forgiving them, I'm just going to gobble up all this anger that I feel and give vent to it and say the stuff that I want to say inside my house. Or maybe God is trying to guide us to a job that's really going to be good for us. But just like Chris Weeks shared in the gathering a couple weeks ago, Chris had to work at Sonic for about 4 months before he landed a good job. So he had to put that visor on, he had to put the vest on, he had to go get paid, not very much. Had to be humble enough to do that day in and day out. And I'm sure Chris had opportunities to make fast money in some sort of garbage way if he'd wanted to. And how many of us will say, oh, I'm going to follow God as soon as I get enough money, or as soon as I can, you know, be honorable, or I can be law-abiding, or I can be forgiving, as soon as I get this other stuff. But right now, I'm so hungry. Or right now, this garbage looks so attractive. And so we run to it, and we stop following God.
I love the story. And I love it from the standpoint of the visual image of you taking your sheep and the sheep going for the garbage, okay? I think it's great. I think we need to hear not just the story, but we need to apply it to our lives. I need to. So yesterday I prayed through Psalm 23, and I actually prayed through it three different times. And I prayed through it once for me, and then once for my family members, and then once for people that I pray for on a regular basis. My prayer theme today was to look at my life and to spend some time studying how God has been good to me. I'm working through a particular system of prayer for this 2016, and that was my assignment for today, to look at my life. And as I think about some things where God has made me go places, I wanted to be a really good basketball player, but I didn't want to run sprints. And so that put me on a different team because the coach at that time wanted us to run suicide drills and sprints. And I thought, well, that's good for you, but it's not good for me. And I just checked out. I wanted to be a professional golfer, but I didn't want to hit 400 balls a day like Tom Watson in Blue Springs did when he was in high school. And so I was a good golfer, but I wasn't that good of a golfer. I wanted to be a lifeguard. Do you know why I wanted to be a lifeguard? Not because I wanted to save people, but girls went to the swimming pool. True story, confession here on Sunday morning. And here's what dawned on me. If I'd ever been a good basketball player, I never would have had an ego small enough to hear God's voice. Okay? Same thing with golf. And God took me from being a lifeguard, which I flunked senior life saving. You did not want me to be your lifeguard. He took me to a warehouse where I worked for about 5 years and really learned as much in that warehouse that has been useful to me as a lot of the schooling that I have had over the years. And so when you talk about being made, I had a bunch of little garbage ideas for my life. Teenagers, it's great that you're sitting here on the front row because you're at a time where you could start cooperating with God rather than fighting God. God made me, even though I didn't know it at the time because I didn't know the Lord, but God made me to go certain ways because he knew what my life was going to be down the road. And so there is a verse. Can we flip to that one about he leads us? Go back. Aha, right there. He leads me in the right paths for his name's sake. God's leadership is so real that he will stake his reputation on the fact that he's leading you the right way. And so the best thing to do is to cooperate. There's an interesting verse in the book of Acts where Paul has this Damascus Road experience. He is blinded. God meets him personally. And here's what the word is. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. What in the world is a goad? Well, an ox, not a sheep, but an ox is led by a sharp stick. It's called a goad. And the ox doesn't exactly like being prodded with a goat. Neither do I. I don't like being made to go in these right paths. And so the ox will kick back with his rear foot into the goad. Guess what happens when you kick a sharp stick? It just goes in deeper. And so God said to Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the goads. Teenagers, right here on the first three rows, boy, it's a great time to listen. If you can say, I choose today not to kick against God's good guidance, use Jake's illustration, I choose today not to go eat the garbage. In fact, that's a good lesson for all of us, isn't it? I choose today to cooperate to God's leadership because he sticks his name on it. He says, this is the right path. So just think about that, and we'll just keep on talking about sheep. All right, Jake?
Okay.
Go for it.
So this next verse, right before we get back to the sheep, verse 4, David says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, some translate this as the valley of the shadow of death, David says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. There's this idea that David can go through anything and not be afraid. Think back over this last week. I know I woke up in the middle of the night earlier this week and was up for a long time because I was anxious about something. And then later, I was on a date with Chrissy and I was anxious about this thing still. And so I got grumpy in the middle of a date. It had nothing to do, you know, with her. It had to do with this other stuff going on. How many of us, we ruin some part of our week or some good thing gets stolen from us because we're either afraid or we're worried or we're anxious. That's pretty normal human condition. But David was out of that. David said, I'm never afraid because God's with me. He didn't say I'm never afraid because everything goes right. He didn't say I'm never afraid because, you know, I always have job stability or because my relationships are always easy. David had a crazy family. He's had crazy things happen in his life. But he said, I'm never afraid of anything that gets thrown at me. And even when I have to go through the darkest valley, I'm okay because God's with me. You know, God doesn't just give us a pogo stick to jump over, you know, life's difficulties. He walks through them with us. We have a God who wants to walk with us. And so if you're going through something really hard, there's some people in this room who have no fault of their own. They're going through something terrible, a death of somebody they love, a sickness that they just can't get over, some sort of tragedy that maybe they can't even explain to other people. And they're walking through that. God says, I'll walk through it with you, and you don't have to be afraid. We'll go through it together. There's this image of my sheep here, kind of eager, looking for somebody to come home type of thing. So something I learned about sheep, too, from owning one is it had really one desire, and that was to eat. That's all it wanted to do. It just wanted to eat, 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 and it was happy if it was eating and unhappy if it wasn't. The only thing that could stop it from eating, if there was food around, was if it realized that it was alone. It wasn't very smart, so sometimes you could sneak away from it and not have it realize it. But if it knew it was alone, it would just freak out, and it would start baaing and baaing. It was like those YouTube videos of baaing sheep, if you've ever wasted some time on that. I mean, it would just go nuts, and not just for 2 minutes. It would baa itself hoarse. It would baa, and I would walk to the store and come back, and it's still bawing when I come back. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, like, what is, you know, you'll be okay. You're in a fence, like, but it would freak out because it didn't know very much. I mean, it was an incredibly dumb animal. Like, it would walk right into fire if you let it. But it did know one thing. It knew it was weak, and it knew it needed a protector. And in that way, the sheep was like Moses, one of the greatest men to ever walk the earth. Moses said to God one time, if you don't go with us, I don't want to go anywhere. Imagine if we were like that sheep and said, if God's not here, I'm stopping everything, and I'm just going to cry out for help. But most of us aren't like the sheep. We're so focused on taking care of ourselves or satisfying ourselves. We got our heads down, and we never even notice if God's not with us for a few minutes or a few hours or a few days, a few months. We don't even notice that sometimes we walk away from God. God's always willing to be involved in our life, but he'll let us walk away from him. And the scary thing is a lot of us walk really, really far away before we ever realize that God's not close. But that sheep showed us how to live. It showed us that, like, even if you're involved in stuff, you need to be looking. Is God close to me right now? And don't go anywhere. Don't do anything but cry out for help if God's not close.
You know, as Jake is sharing, I'm thinking through this psalm, there's almost something in this psalm for every situation in life. And so if you start your day off and you say, God, be my shepherd, I am like the dumb sheep that Jake is talking about. I'm willing to eat garbage just on an instant unless I am tied to the Lord. I am lonely without God. We all go through those valleys of deep darkness, and we will all go through, each one of us individually, the valley of the shadow of death. That is going to be there. It will be a part of our lives unless the Lord returns before that happens. That's going to be part of our life. And so as we learn to get this into our life, we're so valuable. Just flip the next verse, and let's just look at it really quick. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God has prepared this world for us, and I'm not going to take the time to talk about it, but he has. And yet in the middle of that, we still get hurt. And so he is the good shepherd. He knows every one of our names. He knows your hopes. He knows your dreams. He knows your desires. He knows all your failures. He knows you're like, and I'm like, the sheep that Jake is talking about. And yet when he comes in, he'll bring us in, and he will anoint us with what we need. He will give us what we need. And so my encouragement to us is that we stay open to him. Let's get connected with him and stay open to him, and let's not fight him, and let's cooperate with him. He is there for us. And there are a million stories we can tell all day long, and you all, if we passed around a mic, we'd have a lot of stories about how God has done that. But let's cooperate. Let's be a part of this, okay? Jake, why don't you take us to the end, please?
Last thought David has for us is this great hope that he has. We all know the disappointment of putting your hope in something that disappoints. I mean, even yesterday, I was super hopeful. This is the year. Kansas City is just going to win everything. You know, World Series, Super Bowl, it's all ours. But it didn't happen. And that's okay, because I didn't, you know, put my life down on the Chiefs or something like that. But David said that he hoped so much in God that he could put his life down on God. He said, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He doesn't just say, gee, it'd be nice if God was always with me. He said, I know God's always going to be with me. And because God's goodness and because God's love is with me, I can face the future. And my whole eternity is in God's hands. When you have that kind of hope, it can lead to a life where you're content even in the storms of life. Something interesting about that sheep, I'd take it out, go to the outskirts of town. It would eat until it was about three times the size that it was when I took it out there. And I'd lead it back home, and it would waddle, you know, back home. When I get it home, you know, sometimes it'd be at night. We might have a whole bunch of people from the community over or something like that. It might be loud and busy. If that sheep had eaten really well that day, it didn't matter what was going on. That sheep would tuck its little legs under its body. You wouldn't even be able to see them because it would be so fat. And it would, I mean, it's kind of gross, but it would just chew its cud, like, and it would just do that for hours. And it was like the most content animal I have ever seen. Like, it did not care what was going on as long as somebody was close, and it was full. And it just had this, like, ultimate contentment. And when we think about God taking over our life, leading our life, leading us to green pastures, that sort of contentment is what David had. Didn't matter how crazy things were around him. As long as God was close, he was so full of goodness that he could handle the storms of life. If you're here today and you said, I've never gotten started with God like this. I've never heard about God as my shepherd who wants to walk and lead me to a good life. Then we're going to have people up front here. They're coming right now. We're going to have people up front ready to pray with you. And all you've got to do is say, God, or say to us, I want to get started with God. I want Jesus to be that shepherd for me. You know, if you've been walking with God for a little while, but you still are chasing after the garbage in your life, you're still struggling with that. You know, Anthony said in Sunday school this morning, he said sometimes, he said you can listen to God whisper or you can wait for the brick. Like this idea that like God will get your attention eventually. And maybe God's tugging on you right now, just like I would tug on that sheep. And it's time to come down and say, God, I want to follow you. I want to put my feet where your feet are. I want to treat people like you treat people. I want to follow you to green pastures. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much that you are a good shepherd, that you love us, and that you want to lead us, not just command us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and respond.